From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Accelerate. He's coming down to the 16th pole in front. Thunderstorm on the inside is next. Then Mendelssohn, Gunavera, and Yoshida on the far outside. They're coming to the wire. And Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler.
Wondergadot's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate. Ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today. And it's all about Wonder Gadot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they bump there. Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nick Skoll, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. They come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence. Happy to have you along. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, together in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios on the 16th day of February, 2019. And Jude, I'm going to tell you, I love this particular week of the year. And people might think I'm crazy. We're talking about the middle of February. What do you like about this? It's cold. It's rainy. It's miserable from a weather perspective most of the time. But you start to see some sure signs of spring this particular week every single year. You have the Boys of Summer that are now reporting to training camps all over the country. And we'll soon be watching exhibition baseball, which is always a sure sign of spring and a sure sign of summer. You have Tiger and Phil squaring off this weekend in the golf tournament and the PGA Tour. You have NASCAR's Super Bowl taking place in Florida tomorrow, the Daytona 500. I think that's always another good sign. And of course, we're sitting here just 77 days, 9 hours, 47 minutes, and 30 seconds away from the first Saturday in May and the Run for the Roses.
And to say nothing of the fact that the bulbs are starting to pop up all over town.
Yeah, they are.
It's amazing.
They are. That's a good sign.
It's been cold. But all of a sudden, they all popped up.
Yeah, we had those couple of days last week where we hit the mid-60s and even low 60s, mid-60s. And I think that kind of got everything started.
Yeah.
Whether it'll last, I don't know. But it's a good sign. It's good to see.
Yeah, kind of. It was kind of surprising, actually.
Yeah.
Nothing one day, and then all of a sudden there's green popping up all over.
The other thing that's really good to see is what's happening on the racing side of things this weekend with the Derby prep races. You've got a big, big race down at the fairgrounds, to say the least. Things are really starting to heat up along that road to the Kentucky Derby. The Grade 2 Risen Star, the first Derby prep of the year that's going to award the winner 50 points, which is basically a win and you're in. You're going to be in the Kentucky Derby starting gate if you win the Risen Star today. 20 points for second, 10 for third, 5 for 4th, all of those could prove to be invaluable when we move up the road 77 days from today.
Yeah, well, it's quite a variance from what we've been having with the 10 points to the winner races.
So, yeah.
Definitely a win and you're in, so to speak, for the Derby. And big field, exciting race. Just a really excellent card down at Fairgrounds.
Yeah, 6 stakes races, 4 graded stakes. Not only the Grade 2 Risen Star, but you have the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra for the 3-year-old fillies. That's a 50-point race to get into the Kentucky Oaks on the first Friday in May. 10 fillies set to go to the post in that one. The favorite Chasing Yesterday from who else? The barn of Bob Baffert. 5-2 morning line favorite. Post position number 10, though. She'll have to overcome that, but she's a very, very talented filly.
Yeah, no question about it. That race came up pretty good. Some years it's saltier than others. I would put this one about middle of the road.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a good race. A lot of excellent races all over the country.
And big fields too.
Huge fields. Laurel's got a card that is so hard to handicap. It's unbelievable.
Really good card. 2 grade 3s.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then we actually have a win and you're in race today. the El Camino Real Derby is an actual win and you're in for the Preakness.
There you go. Yeah, that's right.
So that's kind of cool. That's a new wrinkle in the El Camino Real Derby picture, and that race came up good, and so it's going to be a lot of fun racing coast to coast, and good racing. I mean, and the weather's supposed to be relatively cooperative.
Yeah, I think for the most part.
We've had a bad weather week. I'm ready to see Fast and Firm.
Yeah, a bad weather week at places like Santa Anita, where you don't expect it,
yeah,
right?
Santa Anita, Gulfstream. It's just been a very rough week for horse players. A lot of short fields and chalk. And so it's very... very difficult sometimes to get a handle on things, but this weekend looks good. We've got big race Monday as well.
Yeah, the Southwest.
So
at Oaklawn.
Yeah.
Derby prep, 10 points to the winner there, and 11 3-year-olds set to go to the post in that one too. So another big field. You've got 13 entered into the El Camino Real Derby at Golden Gate later today too. So big fields in these derby preps, competitive fields. Even, you know, even the Grade 2 Risen Star today, you take a look at that one, and the Mark Cassie-trained War of Will is a horse that he calls Wow because he is so impressed with this horse. But that's a horse that 5-2 on the morning line, breaks from post 14. He's no sure thing in there.
Well, not from post 14.
Tough post.
Yeah, but he's a very good horse. We'll see what happens. I mean, I don't think he can worry too much about the post. He's got tactical speed, too, so he might be able to get a good position. You never know about these things. You have to just watch.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned the card at Laurel today. 5 stakes races, 2 grade 3s. You have the General George and the Barbara Fritchie. You also have the Miracle Wood on that program, which is a prep race, a derby prep race for the 3-year-olds. Not a points race, but another race that you may see a Derby contender come out of. We're going to be joined by Sal Sinatra, who is the president of the Maryland Jockey Club, in our first segment of the program. That comes your way right around 8:15 Eastern. Then we're going to turn our attention to the Stallions with our Stallion Spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence. That'll come your way at 8:35 Eastern, and we'll be joined by Stuart Fitzgibbon from Castleton Lions to talk about their trio of stallions. They stand there, and pretty good ones too, with Gio Ponte and Justin Phillip and Protonico, who now joins the lineup at Castleton Lions.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful farm, historic place, and Stuart and his crew do a great job. And Gio Ponte, I mean, not only was he one of the greatest racehorses of all time, but he's turned out to be a pretty good sire too, so... they got to be excited about him and all of his accomplishments. He's done a lot in a very short period of time.
Yeah, yeah. Our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris, comes up at 8:52 Eastern time. Then we kick off hour two at 9:00 with Scott Coles, who is the newly crowned HC champion, the youngest champion in the history of the National Handicapping Championship. So we'll get a chance to visit with him 9:00 Eastern. Vicky Foley going to be with us 9:20. And Brett Calhoun at 9:40 Eastern time. Of course, Vicky sending out Hog Creek Hustle in this afternoon's Risen Star. And Brett going to be represented by Mr. Money. But more importantly, Brett became just the 30th thoroughbred trainer to reach the 3,000 win mark last Sunday at the fairgrounds. So we'll get a chance to talk to him about that milestone as well.
Yeah, he's an excellent trainer and a good guy. And it was good that he got past that. I know it was a struggle. I don't know why that is, but it happens to everybody in sports. It seems like the closer they get to a record, they start cramping up.
And for him, it didn't come easy either. That was a race, if you remember, last Sunday, that his horse that won, Most Mischief, it was an allowance race, but had to survive that photo finish because it was a 3-horse blanket finish, 3 noses on the line. His horse won by a nose. The horse that was second by a nose, and the horse that was third
almost
was third
a
by
triple
a nose.
Dead heat.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, it's never easy. I'll tell you, it's never easy.
No, but Brett will take it, and he is now at that 3,000 win mark, and again, just the 30th thoroughbred trainer ever to accomplish that feat. Pretty spectacular, and we'll look forward to that visit toward the end of the program. In terms of our poll question today, at HRRN on Twitter, we're going to do a couple of different ones. And I thought it'd be kind of fun to do it this way. We talk about we talk about all the different things taking place this weekend with Daytona 500 and the PGA Tour and all the things that are those sure signs of spring. So I was thinking about it, and I said, okay, how about this? Here's the poll question. If you could only attend one of the following major sporting events, which would it be? You can only attend one of these. The Kentucky Derby, the Daytona 500, the Super Bowl, or the Masters. Those are your four choices. Now, if you want to write in a vote for the World Series or whatever it might be, that's fine too. But those are the four choices. The Kentucky Derby, the Daytona 500, the Super Bowl, or the Masters. Going to assume the Derby is going to get a lot of play with our audience, but you never know. How about you?
Well, I've been to the Derby lots of times. I have absolutely no desire to go to the Daytona 500 other than to be in Florida. I guess maybe the Super Bowl. I think that would be fun to go to the Super Bowl once, but it's not really high on my list because I'm a real television football fan.
Yeah,
I mean, I like watching the replays and
plus it costs you an arm and a leg to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
for a football
game.
Yeah, it's
expensive. I almost went once with Mike Mitchell. Wasn't able to pull it off. Had too many horses running. He did too, but he was a big shot.
Yeah,
he was just a little guy. So, but
so maybe the Super Bowl.
The Masters would be fun too. I enjoy golf. I enjoy going to golf tournaments. But I think of the two, the Super Bowl is just, you know, you have to talk like this at the Masters.
Well,
and you can drink beer and
really
go crazy.
Yeah,
at the Super
Bowl. You're not that close necessarily. I guess if you're standing right behind Tiger when he's teeing off, then you probably should keep your mouth shut. But and no cameras. You can't even bring a camera into Augusta.
Yeah,
which I think is actually kind of cool. Look, I mean, here's the deal. I've been to the Kentucky Derby like you every year since 1998. I've missed one year, and I guess when I was thinking about this question, I said, okay, how would I answer it? It depends on if you're talking about which Mike Penna you're talking about. Is it the pre-1998 Mike Penna that had never been to the Kentucky Derby? Or is it the one that's been there multiple times since that mark? Take nothing away from the Derby, but if you're talking about the pre-98 Mike Penna, I'm all over the Kentucky Derby in this one. Because that was the one thing I wanted to do more than anything, was go to the Kentucky Derby. At this point, having been there so many times and only been to the Masters once, I think now if I'm voting on that poll question, it's probably the Masters.
Really?
I would like to go back there again because it was right up there with any Kentucky Derby that I've been to. It was that good. I ranked those two 1 and 1A in terms of the two greatest sporting events that I've ever been to.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good recommendation.
Yeah. So, I mean, interesting poll question there. Let us know your thoughts. And then the second one, I'll throw this out very quickly. We'll have two of them out there for you to vote on. We'll update those throughout the program. This one's a prop bet. You know, you can bet prop bets in Vegas on just about everything. So here you go, this prop bet. If you're going to bet on a trainer to saddle the Kentucky Derby winner this year, we'll give you Bob Baffert or we'll give you all other trainers. Bob Baffert or all others. Five-time Derby winner Bob Baffert or all other trainers. Those are your two choices. Keep in mind, Baffert has juvenile champion game winner out there. He has Mucho Gusto, Roadster, Improbable, Desmond, Kingly, much better. And he's probably got a couple of others waiting in the weeds. Who knows? Maybe a horse that hasn't started yet that could win the Triple Crown.
He says no to that. But.
All right. So those are your two things. You can go to @HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Let us know your thoughts, and we'll pass along the results of those two questions later in the program. We'll get to our first break. We'll come back and talk some Laurel with Sal Sinatra, the president of the Maryland Jockey Club. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Adena Springs Stallion, Mucho Macho Man. A precocious juvenile, a classic three-year-old, and dominant older horse.
For Rajiv Baraj, Mucho Macho Man wins the Risen Star.
Mucho Macho Man in front. followed by Hembook, who continues to close ground but will run out of racetrack as Mucho Macho Man wins the 126th Suburban.
Mucho Macho Man declares the war. We'll take charge of Final Man. Mucho Macho Man.
Mucho Macho Man's first crop includes black type runner Bell Laura and TDN rising stars Mucho Gusto with trainer Bob Baffert and Fortin Hill in the barn of trainer Chad Brown. In the sales ring, yearlings by Mucho Macho Man have proven popular, selling for up to $170,000, with his first two-year-olds bringing up to $625,000. Mucho Macho Man, standing at Edina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Lean Green Wheat Sub is so good. How do you make it?
With the highest quality ingredients and love. I mean, we definitely don't sing at lullabies when it's baking. Lullabies are what parents sing to babies.
Right.
And we don't use a baby carrier to carry the warm, fresh 9-grain wheat subs to the cooling racks. I mean, they're not babies. They're for making delicious sandwiches.
Okay. I'll take a turkey tom.
Oh, don't name them. It makes it harder.
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
I'm 3-time Derby winning jockey Gary Stevens.
This is Rosie Napravnik.
Hi, my name is Sean Bridgman.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia, and I listen to Horse Racing Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Cowboy Miz went a half and 45.90 and turns for home with the lead. Cowboy Miz is the leader. Cowboy Miz up top as they move to that last furlong. Second, it's the Journey driving hard. On the far outside is Something Awesome. Something Awesome's coming with a run, and a big run indeed. Something Awesome swooping by them on the far outside. Fellowship from Dead Last also with a late run. Something Awesome, Fellowship, and it's the Journey and Awesome banner, followed by Cowboy Miz and Grasshoppin'. And then it was back to Balibor and Sunny Inspired and the General George.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. That was Dave Rodman with the call of last year's General George. Something Awesome getting the victory. We know he would go on to do some pretty good things later in the season, and he is hoping for a repeat year and a repeat performance in that General George as he comes back to defend his title later this afternoon at Laurel Park on what promises to be an amazing day of racing with those six stakes races, the two grade threes, and we're joined now by the president of the Maryland Jockey Club, Sal Sinatra. Sal, good morning and welcome, my friend.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Things are good down here. How are things up there in Maryland?
We got fortunate. Any kind of bad weather south of us, so we got a nice, crisp 40-degree day, sunny. It's something we haven't seen of late on this weekend with these stakes, so it's been a really good day today.
Yeah, Mother Nature's smiling down on Laurel, and what a card it is. I mentioned those six stakes races and the two grade threes, and Sal, competitive races, too. You have to be thrilled with the way this all came together.
Yeah, I really am. And I got to give kudos to our sister tracks who helped us out. We got a couple coming in from Santa Anita. We got one come up from Gulfstream. And then locally in the New York guys. I mean, it's really it's a tough card. It's really playable. I expect to see some really, really competitive races to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of horses entered, which is great, and the races are difficult to handicap. It's not a, you know, situation where you can, you know, pick out two or three horses that look like they tower over the field. Very evenly matched. It's going to be a great card to search for some under-the-radar horses that are big prices.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we got two grade one winners running here, and they're both, I think, vulnerable. I mean, Peter Miller's horse, you know, coming from Sandy, is going to be on a different surface. And Uriah's a nice surprise horse, first start back since since he won the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, Discreet Lover. Yeah, it is a blockbuster card, and at least, you know, from a wagering standpoint, you're going to have a lot of opportunities to make some money as you move throughout that program later today, Sal. The other race that caught my eye, and I know it's one of the smaller fields on the program, but that Miraclewood is always a fun race. You start looking ahead toward the Derby and the Preakness, and you have your eye on some of these three-year-olds, and there's a horse in there, Always Mining, who is highly regarded, has won 4 of 9 starts, and comes in on a three-race win streak.
Yeah, that race kicks off our three-year-old, you know, stretch towards the Preakness. Obviously, it's the first leg of it, and it's a really small field. But again, Peter Miller, there's a lot of speed in that race. This race might actually set up for his horse. So that's a difficult race with a six-horse field.
Yeah, you've got three Triple Crown nominees in there, too, so it could definitely have an impact on what happens later in the year.
Sal, what are some of the special wagers that you have in place today for people that come out or people that are watching and playing the races around the country?
Well, we did our usual DRF promotion on the late pick 4, which is the three large field stakes, starting with the Harrison Johnson and the two graded races. And with a nice little layout of that, I expect that to be a real tough pool just on field sizes alone. We have our traditional pick 5 on the last 5 with 12% takeout. That's a very popular bet. Other than that, just pretty much your same menu of wagering you have everywhere. Exactus, win, play, show, the normal. But those are the two big plays for today.
You know, I had the privilege of making my first visit to Laurel this past year when we came up to broadcast the Maryland Million, and we're planning to be back again later this year, Sal. And I had so much fun, and you were so kind. You took me on a tour of the entire racetrack and all the renovations that have been done to Laurel Park. And I have to tell you, it has come miles from where I understand that it was just a couple of years ago. You guys have done just a tremendous job. Talk a little bit about those renovations.
Well, that's been in-house. We've been trying. I mean, Laurel, out of the historic properties, is the last to actually get a facelift. So, we're working hard on that. We tried to preempt, sports wagering with our sports bar and sports book, which have been well-received. In fact, yesterday we had our long second meeting for the actual master plan, $80 million renovations, and trying to prepare for a possible Breeders' Cup and, just to get Laurel to be a Class 1 facility.
Yeah, give us a sneak peek of what some of those renovations might include.
We're looking at skyboxes. We're looking at higher-end dining. A lot more seats, if you will. They're talking about possibly taking the glass out or making it retractable. As you know, we're a glass enclosed because of the year-round weather, but it's nice to be able to open it up and hear the cheering and roar of the crowd. So those are things we're looking at. Our e-gaming is doing very well, so I may have to move them in the building. Got a tournament here today with, I think, 500 people so far. So, we got a lot going on here. It's just hopefully with the help of the architects and builders, we can kind of get it all, trying to make it a work-and-play type environment. Try and use the place for things other than racing, whether it's sports and sports wagering or e-gaming or, we've been talking about making a kid's zone that'll be, like no other, just to try and get families here.
Yeah, that's a big part of what Maryland Racing does is support families coming to the races, and I think that's a good thing. I mean, that's how I started going to the races with my dad and my brothers when we were kids, and there's nothing like it. I mean, once you learn a little bit about the sport, it becomes infectious, and it stays with you for the rest of your life.
Actually, Maryland, you're right, is a really good state for that, and they really, the horses beloved in this state, and families do come out, so we should take advantage of it. It's our opportunity to get younger people involved. We always hear anecdotally our fans are all old, but that's not true here. We're hoping to get even a younger crowd. Obviously, with the Preakness and the infield there, we get a little taste. We did a concert for Maryland Million this year trying to get younger people out. And that's all part of Born Distronics thing, a little entertainment along with the racing.
The entertainment on Preakness Day is second to none, really. I mean, you guys have done such a great job of getting top acts and maybe on the cutting edge, too, like just before they become, you know, worldwide stars like Bruno Mars. I mean, it's just a great place on Preakness Day, and everybody gets so excited. And you know, the more of that you can do to get some young people interested in our game, it's the greatest. I know when I cut the voiceovers for the Maryland commercials, and it's always talking about families. Everyone is welcome and invited to go to the races, and I think that's a real feather in your cap.
This build that we're trying to do is one thing we don't do very well here, even though we have a gorgeous paddock, is get the fans closer to the horses and riders more often. So we're trying to work that in as well with this master plan.
Sal, there is always chatter about the Preakness possibly moving to Laurel when those renovations are completed. Is that a realistic goal for the Maryland Jockey Club, or is it just chatter?
No, it's kind of a little bit of both. I'm not necessarily saying it's a goal. But we plan on trying to, you know, obviously we've been stretching the calendar to run year-round. Laurel's the bigger property and houses all the horses. The stadium has their report on the Pimlico rebuild, which is now being tossed about in Annapolis. But we have to look for the day-to-day racing that, you know, keeps the sport alive. And I think, you know, corporate says, you know, we got to invest into Laurel. We got to make this place premier. We still have the Maryland Million. We have talked to the Breeders' Cup. If they rebuild Pimlico and we get a grand place, that's terrific. But if not, we need to make Laurel like a hub in the Mid-Atlantic. And that's kind of our plan, just to try and make this place, it's a little special. You know, it would be New York and then Maryland and Florida, you know, on the East Coast.
Talking with Sal Sinatra, he is the president of the Maryland Jockey Club, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network this morning. Sal, you mentioned earlier using the facility, Laurel Park, for things other than racing, and I'll kind of put an emphasis on this next statement, that Laurel is, much like Gulfstream, not losing sight of the racing product. That is still the core, but you're trying to do some other things like they did at Gulfstream to utilize the facility, and I think that's a smart move. When you took me on that tour, we walked into a room that had all kinds of futuristic chairs that looked like they came out of Star Trek, and they were all sitting in front of computer monitors. And you mentioned e-gaming. That's where that takes place. What on earth is e-gaming? You talked about 500 people coming out for this. What is it?
Yeah, in fact, Tim was when I say a tournament of 500 people, it's probably close to 1,000, because they usually bring a friend, and it's actually a giant tournament. They pay to play. Enters the tournament. It's a, you know, double elimination type thing. And when you get down to the finals, like last year on Twitch alone, or last tournament, there were 68,000 plus watching on Twitch the final of this thing.
Wow.
I think it's a booming unknown right now. I think it's a hot buzz, but it gets young people out. The fellows that really play here, we actually taught close to 24 of them to be tellers for Preakness last year. Which is,
that's,
you tell them it's a few $100 for the weekend. It's great money for them, and they're good with their fingers, and they're learning.
That's great.
It's just cool to see kids coming around with their backpacks and playing their games and at the concession stands as well. It just helps the vibe here.
Yeah, it's a great vibe, too. Laurel Park, again, 6 stakes races, 2 grade 3s on the program later this afternoon. And Sal, we can't thank you enough for being with us here this morning. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we'll send you a gift. Courtesy of Embrace the Race, wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Appreciate you being
thank
here,
you.
My friend.
Thank you, and hope to see you soon.
Yep, you will. Enjoy the day. Sal Sinatra on HRN. Yeah, that room where they do the e-gaming is pretty wild. It's a very futuristic looking room there. And then you walk through and you go into that state-of-the-art sports bar, which is as nice a sports bar as you're going to find anywhere. It's very Vegas style, and all the television monitors up top are right in front of you. They're very easy to see, but they're all high def, and it's really cool. It's like you're sitting right there in the front row of any game that you want to watch.
Yeah, it's great. Well, you know, I love to see innovations and new things going on, and that e-gaming thing sounds fascinating. I'm going to have to read up on that.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. They even have a batting cage, like a baseball batting cage, but they use it for cricket. And they have cricket teams come in and practice inside there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'd be good at that.
Yeah. Pretty cool. It's a nice place. And, again, a big day at Laurel later today. Going to get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. We'll come back with our Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence. And we'll visit with Stuart Morris from Castleton Lions. Stay with us. This is your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
Beautiful Hialeah on a warm, pleasant Saturday afternoon in February of 1956. A banner field of thoroughbreds went postward while the running of the highly prestigious Widener Handicap. The winner's share of the purse was to be $92,600. In that super field of nine horses that were to answer the call to post were Sailor, Find, Social Outcast, Man of Destiny, Nashua, and an invader from Venezuela, El Chama. There was an all-time record crowd on hand, 42,000-plus, breaking the previous high watermark for attendance by some 5,000. The previous largest crowd had been on Flamingo Day in 1955, when Nashua won that event as a three-year-old. Most of those on hand, many of whom jammed the paddock area with cameras, came to catch a glimpse of the Sonny Fitzsimmons trained Nashua, who had Eddie Arcaro in the irons and packed a top weight of 127 pounds. There were a number of critics who felt that Nashua had worked too fast just a few days before the race, having clocked a 2:02 flat just the Tuesday previous to the race at Tropical Park. That workout had been necessitated by a very heavy strip at Hialeah. Still others doubted that Mr. Fitz could bring Nashua up to a winning effort under the heavy impost against a very tough handicap field at a mile and a quarter after having been off the racetrack competitively for 4 months. Nashua appeared to be highly keyed up in the walking ring. Arcaro admitted that he was rank right up until the time the field loaded into the starting gate. The strategy was no doubt for Arcaro to drop Nashua off the early pace while stalking the early leaders and then make that one big run. There were other notable closers in that race, however. Alfred G. Vanderbilt's entry of Find and Social Outcast were both highly capable of making late runs. So, at least in theory, it would become a cat-and-mouse game with rating and judging of pace being most critical. At the break, it was Sailor going out to the front, but Arcaro was forced to let Nashua have a little bit more of his head than he would have liked, since his mount was virtually pulling Arcaro out of the saddle. As it turned out, Nashua stayed head-and-head with Sailor through the early going, and the question became that if that early rapid pace with Nashua's top impost of 127 would in the long run take its toll on the crowd favorite. Not only that, but the well-noted closer Fine was right there lurking in third, waiting to pounce. Sailor was the first to succumb to the pressure of the early fractions, and Nashua assumed the lead as the field swung on around the far turn. Fine had not given up the chase and was hanging right with Nashua as they hit the top of the stretch for the final 2 furlongs. It was Nashua, Find, and now Social Outcast was making his big run as expected from well off the pace to get up into contention. As they came to the final 16th, it was Nashua hanging tenaciously to the lead, with Arcaro getting everything he could from the strapping colt, then Find, Sailor, and Social Outcast, who was charging out in the middle of the racetrack, gobbling up huge strides. Nashua stayed on gamely and courageously in front of the wire, barely holding off the flying Social Outcast by a head, with Sailor only another head back and Fine fourth just 3 heads back in a classic example of the well-known blanket finish. It was, by any measure, means, or standard, a great horse race indeed. One of the stewards, Cal Rainey, said it had been the very best horse race he had seen in 20 years. That win by Nashua, the big son of Nasrullah out of Segula by Johnstown, put Nashua over the $1 million career earnings mark, and he thereby joined the illustrious Citation as the only other horse up to that day to reach that lofty mark. A blanket finish and a victory for Nashua in the Widener Handicap, February 1956 at Hialeah. A great moment indeed in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection. With not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Now standing at Buck Pond Farm. Bet on Red. Wildcat Red.
Wildcat Red runs away to an impressive score in the Hutchison.
After winning the Grade 3 Hutchison, Wildcat Red goes on to win the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth in near record time. Faster than Pulpit, faster than Thunder Gulch, and faster than 49er. Multiple graded stakes winner and Grade 1 performing millionaire, Wildcat Red. Also standing at Buck Pond, V.E. Day. After winning three in a row at Belmont and Saratoga, V.E. Day wins the Grade 1 Traverse in one of the most exciting finishes in history with a speed rating of 112.
But here comes V.E. Day with a final try. Who will win the Traverse? It will be Too Close to Call!
Major League Belmont and Saratoga talent, V.E. Day. For more information, contact Buck Pond Farm at www.buckpond.com.
We saw his brilliant speed with a 116 buyer in just his third career start.
Cross traffic, three quarters, eye-popping 108 and four.
We witnessed the sheer brilliance in the Grade 1 Whitney.
And cross traffic will take his place among the top handicapped horses in the country.
Now, we're watching a star sire in the making.
Jaywalk is a Breeders' Cup champ.
One of the most accomplished freshman sires in recent history. Champion freshman sire, cross traffic, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Experience the thrill of pulse-pounding thoroughbred racing at the Maryland Jockey Club. The Maryland Jockey Club is fun for the whole family. Watch world-class racing live or follow coast-to-coast sports on massive LED screens in our newly redesigned sports bar. Don't miss a minute of the action. Join us for live thoroughbred racing Thursday through Sunday. You'll be glad you did. Post time 12:30 p.m. and always free admission at the Maryland Jockey Club.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence.
There is Gio Ponti, just as well as charging hard. Stutzfold is third. Gio Ponti adds the million to his Grade 1 collection.
Protonico kicks on for the wire, a six-length lead.
And Justin Phillip fights his way to the front. Damien Squall far outside, Dalen A in gentleman's bet, but it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Well, that's a pretty good trifecta right there. Those three stallions, Gio Ponti, Protonico, and Justin Phillip, and they're all standing at Castleton Lions here in Lexington, Kentucky. Mike Pena, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum, and it is time for our Stallion Spotlight segment, all presented by Red Brand Fence. And to help us talk about those stallions at Castleton Lions, we welcome in Stuart Fitzgibbon. Stuart, welcome, my friend. Good morning.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, great to have you back in the mix, my friend. And you hear those race calls. You hear Gio Ponti winning the Arlington Million. You hear Protonico powering away. And Justin Phillip with that huge win in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt. And you get a chance to talk about these horses. You get a chance to promote them every day, Stuart. What a privilege.
Yes, no, it's great. I mean, all three were very, very good racehorses on the day. They've made very encouraging starts at stud. Giaponte and Justin Phillip with the runners. Britannico has just got short yearlings at the moment, but things are looking good for him. It was great. All three horses actually have, one of the main things they have in common is their longevity. They had quite a lot of starts. 29 times for Giaponte, 32 Justin Phillip, and Britannico, I believe, at 16 starts. So they ran for quite a long time, and that's always good for the business. And I think that if that all three horses, you know, are putting that into their stock, that's very, very important for any owners and breeders out there.
Yeah, I think people don't pay enough attention to that. You know, there's some horses that come along and they're very flashy for a few months, and then they go to stud, and they really didn't have that that proven long career of staying sound and being competitive for a year or two at least. And your horses are just the exception to that rule. I mean, if you want to have a horse that's going to be around a while, that's something that you really need to look at when you're considering your breeding options.
Like that the great Sir Dudley Digg's Giaponte horse that won the Queen's Plate, he makes his 30th start this afternoon down in the fairgrounds, I believe. He's running in the fairgrounds handicap.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So he's making his 30th start, and Giaponte himself, as I say, ran 29 times. It's I think it's very, very important if you're a racehorse owner out there. The business is expensive enough anyway, and the best fun that anybody gets in our business is actually going to the races.
Right.
So if you have a sire that can produce a horse that can actually run and will stay sound, I mean, that's very, very important for any owners out there. It gives the trainers confidence when they go to the sales. It gives breeders confidence when they're selecting a stallion that the eventual progeny, that the Giaponte or the Justin Phillip or the Britannico, should give some fun to the owner. And that's so important in our business, to give some fun to the owner.
Yeah, well, Sir Dudley Digg's certainly been so important to Mr. Ramsey. You know, we've seen him win in three different countries. You know, he won the Queen's Plate in Canada. He won the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup last year. And, of course, he's won countless races in the United States. So, you know, when you can travel with a horse, have him represent your country, which Mr. Ramsey loves. I mean, I know Sir Dudley Digg's means a lot to Mr. Ramsey. Probably not as much as Kitten's Joy, but right up there with him.
No, it's great. Did you get the trip to Barbados?
Oh, yeah.
Jude?
Yeah.
Did a great job you guys have.
Yeah, we were there.
I've never seen you in Turfway on a very, very cold snowstorm Friday night.
Oh, we've been there too.
I used to go there with Peter Kerwin back in the day.
Oh, yeah, that's always an enjoyable night out in Turfway.
Yeah, I remember that's where it all started with HRN, even before we really created Horse Racing Radio Network 15 years ago. I remember standing up there at Turfway.
I was actually an assistant trainer in Turfway in 1978, so
yeah.
I go back a long ways. It wasn't even Turfway then, it was Latonia.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, too. You know, Stuart, the other thing that strikes me when you talk about Giaponte, and I know that this has to be something that you're very proud of, he was predominantly, he made his name on the turf, and he was such a good grass horse, and you think, okay, he comes to stud, okay, he's going to produce grass horses, and they're going to go long like he did, and all of a sudden, here comes Dre Fong, and he's a champion sprinter. You have to be thrilled with the variety of horses that he's been able to produce.
Yes, you can't pigeonhole him. You know, I'd say like Dudley Digg's, you know, he won his Queen's Plate on the poly track up in Woodbine. Dre Fong, Breeders' Cup sprint on the dirt. There's a very, very good filly called America's Tale, who is a one-turn dirt sprinter.
Yep.
She won a couple of stakes there in November and December. And there's a runner in the Southwest is on Monday, I believe, down in Oaklawn. And there's a Giaponte running in there called Olympic Runner, trained by Mark Cassie. He'll be making his third start. He was fourth on the lawn first time out at Gulfstream. And then on Pegasus Day, remember that the torrential rain and the race, the undercard races come off the turf?
Mm-hmm.
He broke his maiden on the main track. A turf race switched to the main track. He broke it very, very easy. And so he runs us out west on Monday. So it's, you know, he definitely does get you all sorts of horses, short, long, sprinters, stayers, turf, dirt, synthetic. We're hoping actually now, I mean, you probably saw the news there during the week that he's been nominated to the Hall of Fame again.
Yep.
And hopefully there's a chance he might get in there this time. We're hoping, you know, we can do the double there because Christophe Clement is actually up as well. the first time he's been nominated, I believe.
That's right.
So I hope we can do the double there. But no, it is great when you have a horse like that, that he's, you know, that you don't necessarily have to pigeonhole. He just gets you good, honest runners that seem to have the longevity he had.
Well, I'll give you a little inside information. You're going to have two more votes than you had the last time.
That's perfect. I didn't caution that much.
So. Gio Ponti got my vote last year, but it wasn't enough to get him in. I thought he should have been in last year. I really did. But hopefully this is the year that we get Gio Ponti in the Hall of Fame. I think he deserves to be in there.
Yes.
And, you know, the other thing that gets overlooked when you're talking about a stallion is the heart that stallion had on the racetrack and passing that on to their offspring. Protonico is, as you said, he's new this year. He's a horse that people are going to be looking at. But, Stuart, he had all kinds of heart. And I think back to that win in the Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs.
Yes.
He looked like he was going to get beat. And he just found something inside him to battle back and get the victory.
Yeah, he was a very, very tough, courageous horse. I mean, you know, he's by Giants Causeway, and all those Giants are like that. They're like him. They're tough. They're hardy. They enjoy their racing. They like a fight. They're like yourself in a fight at night. They like a fight. So he won the Ali Sheba over 8.5. Then, you know, he won the Benali, Discovery, and the Smarty Jones. And in various races, he did overcome a little bit, you know, bit of a bad luck in running and dodgy trips, but a very, very, very tough, honest horse. He'd been very well supported by his owners, actually, which I think is very, very important in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
That Harris Semeya, they will be bringing a substantial number of mares to him again this year and have the first couple of years, and they really believe in this horse, and they're, you know, when these horses are ready to go into training, the ones they've bred, they will be giving them every chance.
He's a dandy-looking horse, too.
He is, absolutely. Yeah, he is a very, very correct, good-looking, attractive son of Giants Causeway who, you know, the Giant has made a pretty good record of stud with his sons, so it's all blue sky.
Yeah, another horse that's pretty good-looking is Justin Phillip, and he's there at Castleton Lions as well. We are visiting with Stuart Fitzgibbon from Castleton Lions. You can go to castletonlions.com to see pictures of the stallions and to learn more about their pedigree and the success they've already had in a very short time. Talk to me about Justin Phillip a little bit, Stuart.
Well, today he's got a run on the Dixie Belle at Oaklawn, a filly called Lady TNT. Now, she is blazingly fast, like himself. Most of these Justins seem to be one-turn, very, very fast main-track horses. But, of course, having said that, knowing Castleton Lions and our versatility, he's had a stakes winner on the turf in Japan. He's had a two-turn stakes winner up in Woodbine. But it looks like speed is our main forte. This Lady TNT runs for Joe Sharp this afternoon. We actually bred her. We sold her as a yearling. And she's bought by Paddy Miller and bought by Scott and Evan Dilworth as a two-year-old. And she is a pretty, pretty fast filly now, in fairness. So I'd say keep an eye on her this afternoon. And there's another very fast horse out there that Keith Nations has. He was stakes placed at Monmouth and Prescott last spring, summer, called Just a Holic. And he's been off the track for a few months, but he's just come back into work down in Tampa there. He seems to be a very, very fast horse. So we're looking good for Justin Phillip over the next few months.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He is he's moving in the right direction, as is everybody at Castleton Lions. Stuart, really do appreciate the visit, my friend.
And actually, if you wouldn't mind,
before
you drown me out like the Oscars.
Did you hear the music playing?
Well, I know you guys don't have the budget for music. The two of you probably start singing. But
he's going to pull a Saul Kuhn here.
I want to put a plug in there for the Anne Hanley Parkinson's Fund. As you know, Anne Hanley, the wife of David Hanley from Windstar,
yes,
is heavily involved in Parkinson's research. And the Kentucky Farm Managers Club are having a race here at Castleton on April the 6th, a 5-kilometre Castleton Classic, it's called. And proceeds from that will be going to the Anne Hanley Parkinson's Fund. Everybody's welcome to run. If you log on to the Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club website, which is ktfmc.org, for $30, you can come out to the farm, run to the beauty of the farm here, all the winding paved roads and the tree-lined avenues. You'll have a very nice, nice run. You can go fast, you can go slow. And for $30, we give you a T-shirt as well. So, and a goodie bag. So we'd like to spread the word out there that it's on Bluegrass Day. So, which I think is April the 6th, 8:30 in the morning. It'll be a nice appetizer for Bluegrass Day. So ktfmc.org. It's for a very, very good cause.
All right, there you have it, ktfmc.org. Well done, Stuart. Really appreciate it, and we'll help spread the word on that as well.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Stuart Fitzgibbon, Castleton Lions, that Stallion Spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence. We'll get to another break. We're going to come back and visit with our industry star of the week in that segment presented by Stuart Morris. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Champion 2 and 3-year-old Looking at Lucky enjoyed a breakout year in 2018 with 2 Grade 1 winners, including 5-time Grade 1 winner, Breeders' Cup Classic Hero, and champion older horse, Accelerate, and Grade 1 Beldame victress, Wildcat. This weekend, his son Country House puts his Derby credentials on the line in the Grade 2 Risen Star Stakes at the Fairgrounds. Country House earned TDN Rising Star honors when graduating impressively by 3.5 lengths at Gulfstream last out, and is one of just many smart prospects by Looking at Lucky to look out for in 2019. Eddie Woods is a perennial leading consigner, having sold multiple Grade A Stakes winners, including 26 Grade 1 winners and 4 champions.
Big Brown bombing home to a convincing win in the Run for the Roses.
Left Bank has won. Midnight Loop could not have been more impressive.
Spring in the air takes the Darley Alcibiades.
A passion for hard work that produces big-time results. Find your next winner at the Eddie Woods Consignment. Visit eddiewoods.com.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce McCracken for the 2019 breeding season. A brilliantly talented son of the great Ghost Zapper, McCracken recorded a dominant, undefeated 2-year-old campaign, culminating with a sensational win in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club. A multiple graded stakes winner and track record setter at 3, McCracken retires as the only 2-year-old graded stakes winning colt by his elite sire, Ghost Zapper. Beautifully balanced from a deep female family, McCracken has everything it takes to be an important sire. Airdrie Stud's McCracken. Think about it.
Racing fans, make plans to join us here at Santa Anita for a terrific 3-day weekend culminating on Monday, President's Day, with $1 beers, sodas, and $2 hot dogs. On Saturday, the Grade 2 $200,000 Santa Monica will take center stage along with a $70,000 wishing well named in honor of 1989 Santa Anita Derby winner Sunday Silence. And with winter upon us, check out our Front Runner brunch each weekend in the glass-enclosed Front Runner. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Masterplan is gaining. Masterplan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Masterplan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning 2-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his 3-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade A Stakes producer, Appealing Zophie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Elliot Walden. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Practical Jokes is now within 5 lengths of the lead as they come off the turn and enter the stretch. And here is Sharp Azteca now to take the lead. 3/4 up in 1:10-4. Mind Your Biscuits is putting in a run on the outside. And now there's a furlong to the finish. It's Sharp Azteca with the lead. Mind Your Biscuits into second. As they come down for the finish, it's Sharp Azteca. And he was sharp as can be today to to win the Cigar Mile. Won it by five. Mind Your Biscuits was second. Practical Joke closed to be third. American Eyes was fourth. The Mile in 1 minute, 35 seconds.
Sharp Azteca getting that grade one victory in the 2017 running of the Cigar Mile. And our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris, is a huge fan of Sharp Azteca, to say the least. He is Jay Goodwin from Goodwin Farm, which is out by Paris, Kentucky. And he joins us now as our industry star of the week. Jay, first of all, welcome to the program and congratulations on this honor here this morning.
Oh, I appreciate y'all having me. Boy, that got my blood going, man. That was fun to hear again.
Yeah, talk about your association with Sharp Azteca for our listeners that don't know.
I bought Sharp Azteca's dam in faux the Super Saver for $22,000, I think it was, and we ended up folding that in New York and bred her back to Freud, and the resulting foe was Sharp Azteca, and we decided not to have a Freud New York bred. We really liked the Super Saver and thought we would give her a breed her back in Kentucky the next year. So we had a Kentucky bred. Well, not even we had a no state Freud. So a New York sire, Kentucky foe Freud. Everybody told us we was crazy and. And that's when things like Sharp Azteca usually happen. when you zig, you zag, and everybody thinks you're an idiot, things like that happen. So it worked out, and it was one of the most amazing rides of my life. I moved here to get to raise a horse like Sharp Azteca, and it was a dream come true to do it.
Yeah, phenomenal. I got to ask you, though, Georgia? Daughter's going to Georgia?
Yeah, she's going to be a Bulldog. I'm a Louisiana boy and thought she'd be an LSU Tiger my whole life. And when she told me she wanted to be a Georgia Bulldog, it sort of hit me in my stomach. It was like the third time we go to see if we're having a boy and a girl, and the third time it was a girl, three girls in a row. It was the same sort of hit in the stomach. But, I've got on board with it all, and I've thrown all my purple and yellow away, and wear red and black now. And with I got a UK, my better half's a UK graduate, so I throw on the blue and white, too.
Yeah, I was wondering if your daughter certainly has seen the stadium where the women's softball is played. It's a great place. I don't know how she could leave that behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, very talented softball player is Jay Goodwin's daughter, and as you heard him say, she'll be heading over to Georgia. You know, back to Sharp Azteca for just a minute, Jay. We heard that clip of the Cigar Mile, and you talked about what that meant to you. What do you remember about that day when he finally got that Grade One victory?
It's a funny story, and you guys are really hitting home runs. I was at a softball camp at the University of Miami of Ohio with my oldest daughter, and I'm sitting in a gas station parking lot. I was so nervous. I knew he was going to run big that day, and I'm in a gas station parking lot, wherever the hell Miami of Ohio is, and I'm watching the race by myself in my car with an Icy, and I just fell apart crying as soon as he crossed the wire, and I called Meredith, and she was crying, and it was just it was crazy that it happened that way. You think you'd be at the races and in the winner's circle, and here I am in a gas station parking lot in my car, but I don't think it would have mattered. When it happened, and it was something that I can't wait to feel again. It was surreal, but just being by myself, it was neat sort of being by myself, and just growing up in Louisiana, having a small farm in Arkansas, moving up to Kentucky, you just all sort of saw it flashing in front of you, and it as bad as I wish I was at the races, it was sort of neat just reflecting all in a gas station parking lot by myself.
Well, people don't realize that that's what this sport at its very core is all about, Jay. And here you are as a small breeding operation, certainly not the likes of a Windstar, for example. And to have a horse of that caliber just means so much to you, to your wife, to your entire family, and to your entire business.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, we've had some really good horses. Our first crop born on the farm was Twinspired, who made it to the Derby. Got beat a nose in the Bluegrass. But no one, it's crazy in this business. No one gives a damn about who runs second. I mean, you think about 3 weeks later after every Grade One race, no one remembers who runs second. It's who finishes first, and it's amazing the difference. It really is. But Gypsy Robin, we had Gypsy Robin, but this horse really, I guess, because he did it for over a couple years and danced every dance, the Breeders' Cup, and went to Dubai and all that. I guess that's what really changed things. But it's amazing what since we've had him. I mean, a few more people that don't normally go out of the way say hi to you do, and it definitely put us on the map a little bit more. And I don't know, everything you think it would be to have a horse like that, it sort of takes shape and puts you on the map a little bit. And he's definitely done that. And him going to Stallion at Three Chimneys has even pushed that envelope a little bit further. Just having raised a stallion that's going to stand at such a great farm like Three Chimneys, and he's such a commercial sire, and he's one of the best physical horses that you'll see. So just having a horse like that that you raise, not only win a Grade One, but standing at Stallion at stud at Three Chimneys, I mean, that just sort of continues to push this dream that we've been living with this horse.
Well, and now you've reached a new high today, coming on the Horse Racing Radio Network for the first time. So congratulations, brother.
I'm a huge fan of you guys. I love G. I've been following G forever, and his brother Bob is a very good friend of mine. And we own the dam of Sueño.
Oh, wow.
That Bob bought, that's running in the Southwest. So me and Bob text about once a week about Sueño and keeping an eye on. And then Bob's better half, Amy, owns Select Sale. She's a partner with me in Select Sale. So I know Jude from afar pretty well. We got some connections together.
Well, we got to get together some night and have a couple cocktails and talk about the horse business.
I love the horse business more than anything. I don't play golf besides my kids. And that's only I don't have any hobbies. I don't think about anything else. I think about the horse business. But what's funny is I didn't grow up around animals. My grandfather was a wise guy better. I grew up in an off-track betting place or getting snuck into the racetrack and reading the racing form. And that's where I fell in love with this business is from the racetrack. And so many people don't realize if it ain't for those bettors and those gamblers and those wise guys that we don't have an industry. But that's how I fell in love with the game at a young age, and I love it more than anything, and just blessed and thankful I'm in it.
Well, Jay, well said. Jay Goodwin, owner of Goodwin Farm out by Paris, Kentucky. He is our industry star of the week. This segment presented by our friend Stuart Morris, and you can look for his consignments at all the major sales. He does a phenomenal job, as does Jay Goodwin. Jay, appreciate the visit. Enjoy your time with your daughter down in Orlando, and good luck at the tournament.
Guys, I really appreciate it, and Stumo, he does a great job. There's not a better guy or character in the business, and I appreciate all y'all. Thank you.
All right, thanks, buddy. Jay Goodwin here on HRRN. It is time to get set for hour number two. When we come back, we're going to visit with Scott Coles. He is the youngest national handicapping champion in the history of the event. He won that title last weekend in Las Vegas. We'll visit with him to kick off hour two next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's these two, 1-2 down to the finish. Enabled and Magical, and they're well clear of the others. Racing Royalty, Enabled and
Frankie Dettori, the ARC winner, is the Breeders' Cup Turf winner, too.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside. Tenfold, Bravazo. Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Monoboy Girl is 16th to go. Blue Prize, Wildcat finishing well on the inside. Then comes Midnight Pizzo. Monoboy Girl has won the distance.
Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum. Very busy morning on this 16th day of February 2019. Happy to have you back with us. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. At the time of year when you start to think about spring, you start to think about the Major League Baseball players reporting to spring training. That's always a good sign. The Daytona 500, that Super Bowl of NASCAR coming up tomorrow. You got Tiger and Phil playing in a tournament this weekend, assuming they both make the cut on the PGA Tour. And we're edging closer to the first Saturday in May, which will always be a thought that can warm you up. Now only 77 days, 8 hours, 44 minutes, and 10 seconds away from that Run for the Roses. And of course, we will be there as your official radio home here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. More than 15 hours of Derby Week coverage coming your way on the network. You can visit horseracingradio.net to see a complete broadcast schedule. Fun first half of the show, JT. Sal Sinatra from the Maryland Jockey Club talking about the big day at Laurel later this afternoon. Stuart Fitzgibbon from Castleton Lions previewing their stallions in our Stallion Spotlight segment, and a really fun visit with Jay Goodwin from Goodwin Farm as our industry star of the week just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, Sal kicked us off and gave us some good insight into what's going on at Laurel, and Jay was a really effusive guest and told us his story, and that was good. And Stuart, of course, he sounds like he never sleeps. The guy's got more energy than anybody I know.
Spectacular.
Yeah, he's really. I wonder if he's running in the race. He would win, I think. I don't know if he can run or not, but if he can, with his energy, he's always.
I think he would be. I think he's a soccer guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
so he can run. Yeah.
Obviously, upbeat, Stuart.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And if you missed any portion of the first half of the program, any of those interviews, simply head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast of this show. All of our shows, they're there for you, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. All right, we'll update you on our poll question here in just a minute, but we want to get to our next special guest who is standing by. He is Scott Coles, who last weekend at Treasure Island in Las Vegas became the youngest winner of the National Handicapping Championship in the history of the event. 34 years old, a native of Illinois, and he's with us right now to tell us how he did it. Scott, welcome, my friend.
Oh, thank you very much. It's an honor to be on your guys' show. I've listened to you guys so many times and around so many big races. It's kind of crazy. It's all been a surreal experience.
Yeah, what a whirlwind it has to be these past few days. Talk about what it's been like since you were crowned champion last weekend.
It's been so many just amazing people reaching out, so many people that you've only read about and seen on the online contest world, but primarily online is how I was playing. So I hadn't met a large amount of these people, and it's just been incredible how great everybody's been and welcoming, and what an opportunity I have in the upcoming year to represent the NHC and the horse player. And all of a sudden I'm young again in something, which is pretty cool.
Well, you're still pretty young compared to the rest of the crowd, huh?
Kids today.
Relatively to this one, I'm too old to do a lot of things that I used to do, but getting young for this one's fantastic.
How did you get to the top of the leaderboard? 668 entries. You finish on top. That's no small achievement, my friend. How did you do it?
I appreciate it. My game plan going in was more mathematical and to use a lot of different products, play in races that I didn't think other people would play in, some of the shorter fields that a lot of people in that tournament have hardline rules to and only play horses over this certain price. I didn't have any of those. A lot of my horses I was playing were shorter prices. The math of it to me said that if you play in shorter fields, you know you have a higher probability of hitting. I had two entries that I was playing around with, and I was just trying to pick more logical selections. I wasn't going to be able to out handicap a field like that. I just don't have the experience they do. I can handicap races just fine, but there's just some legendary handicappers in that field. So my game plan was to attack spots where I was hoping other people wouldn't play. Even if it was a six horse field, if it was an optional race, I was not afraid to dive in and then just play a lot of logical horses. And I think they actually did an article about it. I didn't realize how many I played, but there was a large portion of my plays were under 8-1 and quite a few in the 5-2 to 4-1 and 9-2 range. So I just had a good run of picking winners, but I was trying not to get caught up in prices and just play the board, play the situation. And anytime there was a tight spot, not be afraid to just pick up a few extra dollars and keep advancing. And as it stayed tighter, I knew if you got to the final table, it was going to be anyone's game, because this was like in years past, I had seen that a lot of times there was a runaway winner. There was a leader through the first 2 days, but it never got so far out of reach that I felt like you couldn't catch him. So all my goal is just to advance to the next stage each day, and I was able to do that and then just capitalize at the right time at the end.
I think that's so unique that you went contrarian to the conventional wisdom. You know, everybody that plays in contests, you know, that like the 8-1 is the holy grail of where you should start your wagers and all that. And it just goes to show that handicapping and betting can be, you know, unique to the individual and not, doesn't have to fall into some category for you to win. I mean, that's such a unique approach in contests, and it makes your victory even more sweet, I think.
I appreciate that. It was just, I knew I had to do something contrarian, and obviously I play enough daily fantasy and use that term a lot, and fantasy football and, you know, other things like thinking different, because I mean, I wasn't about to be arrogant and go into that event and say that, you know, I'm the best handicapper here and I'm just going to play with these guys. I'm going to find 20-1 shots all day and whatnot. I knew I had to do something different, and that's just shorter fields with the higher probability of hitting, because you're playing a shorter field, you give up some place money, I guess is the argument against, but I had to do something different to win a tournament like this. And I knew it was going to be on game theory and a plan versus my ability to out handicap, you know, the best in the world. So I'm fortunate that it worked out in my favor there.
Yeah. One of the things I believe about contests, and I've played in a lot of contests, I've never been in the NHC, but, it's got to be your day. You know, some days we all have great days at the track and we all have terrible days at the track. And then there's the days in the middle. But if it's your day, when you're in the zone handicapping or whatever, that's the day you want to be in a contest. It rarely works out that way, you're in a contest and it's your day, that's when you win. So, you know, but your approach kind of protects against that a little bit.
I tried, and also having a second entry helped, because it was upsetting sometimes, because I would be hitting a horse on my second entry. I did hit two bombs on my second entry, and if I would have hit either one of those on my main ticket, I would have been in second, third, first at different times during the contest. Wouldn't change a thing about how it didn't end up working out, but it would have been nice during it. It's frustrating, and I think experience going forward, if I ever get a chance to have multiple entries again, I think I'll do a better job with it. But I just playing as logically as I could on the main one, and then when I fell a little bit farther away on the second one, I started taking a little bit more risk, because you had to. But that one ended up, I also made a mistake there. I could have got the second one into the last day. I only missed by $15. I probably played a few too many bombs on that one, and I think that was just a little bit of an experience. And you know, it worked out just fine. But going forward, I would, there's still a few things I would change, and I could have gotten a little bit better with how I did it.
Visiting with NHC champion Scott Coles here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Scott, what's it like to have somebody hand you a check for $800,000?
I'm still hoping I get a chance to have the big one. I just want that for my wall. But the I can't even explain it. That was just incredible. That amount of money will obviously be amazing, but just the prestige of winning that event in general as a horse player was just an amazing experience and something that'll just I'll never forget, and something I've always dreamt of. You know, back in the day it was the World Series of Poker, but this will do just fine. I can't even come to terms with it, even it being almost a full week now. It was just an amazing experience.
What are you going to do with the money? Do you have plans for it already?
So I have a pretty large outstanding debt from student loans, because I was a lawyer for a while, and then I switched professions to trading, but I also had my own firm, and just I had let my law school loan get away from me a bit, so that's going to be a large part of it. Just getting rid of that, which will be huge in my life, and then the rest, just going to kind of see how it goes at work, you know, hopefully use it to advance the horse racing career and possibly get involved in some charity work back home, and just be able to have more opportunities in this game and be able to represent this game, and, you know, pay for some of the travel and whatnot, and just see what this year brings. I know that there's a lot of responsibility that comes with this as well, and I want to be able to do everything I can to help the game and help them attract young players. Sounds what they would like me to do, and I would love to be a part of that.
Are you going to play more contests this year?
Yeah, definitely. I hope to get more. I always try to play as many of the tour events that are online as possible, and play some of the cash tournaments and horse tourneys every year. But I definitely need to get out to more of these live contests, and I want to play in the Horse Player World Series, and I automatically get to play in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, which is something I wasn't ever willing to really buy into before. And I'm not nearly as experienced in cash tournaments as Mythical, but I'm going to try to get in more live bankroll tournaments at the beginning so that I'm ready and don't embarrass myself at the Breeders' Cup. But that makes a lot easier. It makes a lot easier when they're giving you $10,000 to bet. I mean, because everybody bets on that day anyway, so you might as well be in that contest. It sounds just absolutely amazing. So,
yeah, he's Scott Coles, and he is the youngest NHC champion in the history of the event. 34 years old, native of Illinois, and as you heard him say, he's going to use the money to pay off some debt and get out of those student loans. And this truly is a life-changing experience for Scott Coles, as it is for so many of those champions. And Scott, really do appreciate the visit this morning. Keep up the great work, and congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. It was such an honor to be on your show.
All right, and Scott Coles, like all of our guests who appear on the program, will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Great story, huh?
Yeah, it's
great
cool.
Story. And he did it the unconventional way, without having to pick all these bombs. You heard him talk about just keeping it in perspective, playing the game as it was supposed to be played, right? Just picking the horse that's supposed to win.
Well,
and it was enough to work out for him.
Yeah, it's unique that the way he set himself up, the plan that he had, and the short field thing is another, you know, it's very anti-contest theory.
Very much so.
You know, you always look for the big fields that are going to have the big bombs, and he did it the exact opposite way and came out on top, which goes to show there's a lot of different ways to get to the top of the mountain.
Going to update you on our two poll questions that we threw out at the top of the show here in just a minute. Don't forget, you can go to @HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, to weigh in on those two questions. We'll pass along the current results momentarily, right after we remind you that you can have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news, along with analysis, entries, results, race replay videos, and more, all at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app for your iPhone. That's right. You can get it now for iPhone and for other mobile devices, updated throughout the day or delivered daily in an email. Both are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up. All right, so our two poll questions, we asked you two of them today. The first one, in honor of the Daytona 500 and the recently concluded Super Bowl and golf really in full swing. Now, if you could only attend one of the following major sporting events, Which one would it be? Which one would you choose? The Kentucky Derby, the Daytona 500, the Super Bowl, or the Masters? The votes are coming in. You can still go vote. Right now it is, by far, the Kentucky Derby winning with 66% of the vote. No surprise there, especially with our listenership here. You would think that the Kentucky Derby would have a strong advantage. The Masters, currently second. The second poll question, if you're going to bet on a trainer to saddle the Kentucky Derby winner this year, who are you going to choose? And we gave you two choices. This is dead tight right now. Bob Baffert, five-time Derby winning trainer, or all other trainers. Those are the two choices, so it's a prop bet. Right now, all other trainers in front, but just 51 to 49%. Nip and tuck down to the wire in that one.
Wow. No respect for the Silver Fox.
How about that? Go check it out right now. At HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and we'll try to update them as we move later in the show. Coming up next, we're going to talk some Risen Star. We'll do that with trainers Vicky Foley and with Brett Calhoun. Stay with us. Vicky's up next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment, along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit Tenda.com today. That's TENDA.com.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple graded stakes winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins a Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
The
Hello, this is Steve Cawthon, thoroughbred jockey, winner of the Triple Crown 1978 aboard Affirmed, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
This is your HRRN Kentucky Derby leaderboard update.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
With 11 weeks to go until Kentucky Derby 145, juvenile champion Game Winner sits atop the leaderboard with 30 points.
He doesn't know how to lose. He's Game Winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Breeders' Futurity winner Nick's Go remains in second position, followed by Kentucky Jockey Club winner Signal Man in third, and Gunmetal Gray in fourth.
Gunmetal Gray flying on the outside, and Gunmetal Gray, an eye-catching rally to win the sham.
The Steve Asmussen-trained long-range Toddy sits at number five, just ahead of Mucho Gusto at number six.
Mucho Gusto, impressive in victory, cruises home by five easy lengths.
Number seven is Maximus Mischief. Number eight, Tax, followed by Mind Control at number nine. And undefeated Improbable rounding out the top ten.
Improbable, well on his way to remain undefeated, and now a grade one winner, Fantastic in the Futurity. He won by almost five.
And that's your Kentucky Derby leaderboard update.
Well, the top 10 as of February 16th, that will change dramatically over the coming weeks and really over the coming hours as we turn our attention southward to the Bayou and the Fairgrounds hosting the Grade 2 Risen Star Stakes, offering the winner 50 points for a victory today, 20 points to second, 10 for third, all of those critical if you are a Derby hopeful and you want to find yourself in the starting gate on the first Saturday in May. And I know that trainer Vicky Foley is hoping that will be the case for her with Hog Creek Hustle, the three-year-old son of Overanalyze, who is 8-1 on the morning line in that Risen Star later this afternoon. Florent Giroux will be aboard, and Vicky, nice enough to spend a few minutes with us on a very busy morning here today. Vicky, welcome to the show. Vicky, welcome to the show. Happy to have you on board.
Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing Hog Creek Hustle do his thing this afternoon.
Oh, yes. We're ready, and glad today's here. We're coming into it good and strong. I couldn't ask him to be training any better, and we're all very excited and thankful to be here.
Well, he gets a rematch with War of Will, who defeated him last time in the Grade 3 LeCompte. Things are a little bit different this time around, though. War of Will has to break from the outside post number 14, whereas Hog Creek Hustle is in post number 6. Advantage Hog Creek Hustle?
Absolutely. I can say it didn't hurt my feelings when War of Will drew the 14 post. and Hog Creek got 6, which is a great, great position for him to be in. And, of course, they're going to have to use War of Will, on the outside to get out in position. He's the horse to beat. But again, I'm glad we are where we are, and he is where he is.
There's a lot of speed in this race, and that really seems to suit your horse to a T. He's going to get a good pace to run at.
That's what we were hoping for, and that's what we need. Our horse likes to, kind of settle and make that huge run, and hopefully we'll get that today. Whereas last time, War of Will had it all his way.
Yeah, Vicky, I referenced that second-place effort behind War of Will last time out in the LeCompte. Share your thoughts on that performance by Hog Creek Hustle.
We were happy with the way he ran. He was laying a little closer than normal, but Giroux felt like he let War of Will get a little bit away from him, should have stayed with him more, but that's not his running style. That wasn't our race to be had that day. And then we had to go wide in the turn, quite a significant wide in the turn. But he ran a good race, and we were pleased. And War of Will, you know, had everything his way and was the best horse that day. So hopefully we'll be able to run him down today with some good race. We can get the job done.
Vicki Foley joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. As you've heard, number 6, Hog Creek Hustle, going to the post. 8-1 on the morning line in today's Risen Star. Vicki, talk a little bit about being down there in New Orleans, taking that fairgrounds route to the Kentucky Derby. All things being equal, he runs well today. You'll move on to the next step. But why is fairgrounds the right place to be?
The fairgrounds is a great place. It's a great place to train in the wintertime. The weather is good. You know, it's not too cold, not too hot. And they have a great racing surface. It's just a great place to be and train your horses. My horses have all thrived and are doing well, look great down here. Enjoy the city. Everyone at the track, management, everyone is very, go out of their way to help and support you. And, I just enjoy coming down here. It's good for the people and for the horses.
Vicki, you have saddled nearly 600 winners in your career. You've had a couple of greatest stakes winners. If Hog Creek Hustle can win today, you'll add another grade two to your resume and take that next step toward the Kentucky Derby. You've yet to saddle a horse in the Derby. Do you spend a lot of time thinking about what that moment might be like if you could saddle a horse, come onto the track to the playing in my old Kentucky home, and watch your horse load into the starting gate at Churchill Downs?
I think I just have to wait and see how it's going to feel this May. I really don't know. I'd have to tell you this. I can't wait to tell you about it.
We're going to hold you to that, by the way, when you get there.
I want you to. Yes.
Our colleague Anthony Stabile was asking me about the name. He said, would you do me a favor and ask Vicki, what where'd you get that name?
Well, a couple of my owners are from Hog Creek, Kentucky. They grew up there. It's a very small little town. Patty Tipton, she grew up there, and her daughter Candace, and all the other owners, they're from Lexington. They've just come up the hard way. They've worked for everything they have, and the Hog Creek being the little town, they want to, it's just a shout out to their roots, where they came from, and they all in this group, they're just hardworking people who've had to hustle to make, you know, they've made a good living, and they did it the hard way, and that's where Hog Creek Hustle came from.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're very proud of it. A lot of people have commented saying, you know, they didn't care for the name, but we love it.
Yeah, once you know the story, it's great. And I imagine there'll be a lot of people in Hog Creek watching the Derby.
Oh, absolutely. And I think they're going to have a parade if he wins today.
Well, they should.
Well, Vicki, the owners have worked hard.
You know, the people that, all of my group, that everyone in this group, we're all, they love racing. They've been in racing, and they just love the sport. And I couldn't be more happier to train for this group of people. They're good friends, and again, they love the sport, and they love having fun with it. And, you know, and they know the game. So it's good to train for people like that, being in my position as a trainer.
Yeah, very well said. Trainer Vicki Foley here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Vicki, all the best with Hog Creek Hustle this afternoon. And we will definitely be catching up with you at Churchill Downs, all things being equal, on that first Saturday in May. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
All right. Vicki Foley here on the Horse Racing Radio. And in case you're wondering, Hog Creek, Kentucky, located in Montgomery County, south of Mount Sterling. So that's east of where we are in Lexington, heading over toward West Virginia, but not that far. It's probably about 40 minutes or so, 45 minutes east of Lexington, if you're wondering where Hog Creek, Kentucky is.
Might have to go down for the parade.
Everybody's gonna, if this horse wins the Kentucky Derby, everybody's going to know it. And yeah, we'll be there for the parade. That would be outstanding. Coming up next, Brett Calhoun is going to talk about his Risen Star contender. That is Mr. Money. We will visit with him. We'll talk to him about his milestone win, number 3,000, last Sunday at the fairgrounds as well. But it is time now for your monthly segment with our friends at Four Roses Bourbon down in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. I had a chance to stop by there this week and visit with Al Young, who is the brand ambassador for Four Roses. He's been there more than 50 years. And over the next several months, we're going to take you on an audible tour of Four Roses. I had a chance to walk through the facility with them, take a full tour, see how the bourbon is processed and made, and then go all the way through to the tasting at the end. We recorded all of it. So this first segment is the first stop on the tour. When you go to Four Roses in Lawrenceburg, this is the first place you will visit. And here it is with Al Young Sr. All right, Al, we're here in the media room, the viewing room, which will be one of the first stops along the tour. When folks come out to Four Roses, they'll get a chance to see a video presentation of how Four Roses is crafted. They've been doing this here for a very, very long time. And this is a room that features about 30 or so chairs with the red and green striped seats, and a great little setting here for to kick off a tour here at Four Roses. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Well, you know, it's like a dream come true, because in the early days when we did tours, chances are all you got was an introduction to whoever's taking you around, and that was it. But with the video room and some of the displays that we have here in the visitor's center, you really get a good hands-on feel for Four Roses Bourbon.
And I noticed there's a placard here in the front which has the entire process laid out, and it looks like something from a chem lab. What exactly is this here?
Well, we figured it was easier for people to sort of follow the process from the grain all the way up to when it goes out the door. So we put together a board that sort of a storyboard that talks about grain, talks about milling, talks about cooking, talks a little bit more about fermentation and distillation, and then what goes into the quality of the product before it goes into the barrel to be aged at our warehouses, which are about 45 miles west of us at Cox's Creek, Kentucky. So it's quite helpful to it, and we also do bottling down there as well. So you really get the run of show, if you will, for the bourbon making process. So from here, we'd probably go down to the front of the distillery, kind of talk a little bit about the building. And, you know, it's been around since about 1910.
Sure.
Which is kind of amazing, since we went into this expansion project. And when we went into the expansion project, we tried to keep the feel of the original architecture and everything that we added on.
It's so funny you say that, because I've always said that when you drive into Four Roses, it is like going back in time a little bit. Is that accurate?
It is quite accurate, and it's not only going back in time, but it's bizarre, because this kind of architecture is not prevalent in Kentucky, especially way out here in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Tell me a little bit about the video presentation that the folks will see when they come in. I'm assuming it takes them through what they're going to see and what we're going to bring our listeners as we make our way through the tour here today.
That's right, and it gives you a little bit of a capsule of our history. It also talks about grain selection and cooking and mashing and milling and distillation a little bit in detail. Not enough to really snow anybody with the high-tech development of it, but an easy-to-understand symbiosis of what's going on in the process.
Oh, well, I'm anxious to go see the rest of Four Roses. Let's make our next stop along the tour.
Absolutely.
All right, Al Young, thanks to him for taking me through the tour. Again, over the next few months, we will bring you different segments from different places at Four Roses and take you through the process of it being made, which is going to be kind of neat. So looking forward to that. And JT, tomorrow is a special day for everybody throughout HRN Nation. It is the papal birthday your birthday tomorrow, February 17th, and I thought in honor of that segment at Four Roses, I would do this live on the air for you. So here you go, my friend. Happy birthday. This is your gift from me to you. Yeah, and I'm going to let you open it here live on the air.
Live
on the air, right. I thought this would be good.
I have a glass, which is perfect. Yeah, it means we can start right away.
Four Roses rocks glass. I knew you would like that. Exactly.
And a beautiful bottle of Four Roses small batch, which is absolutely delicious, and it's engraved. It says, Happy Birthday, Pope Jude, on it.
So how about that?
That's great. That's beautiful.
Yeah, they now offer a new engraving service out there at the gift shop at Four Roses, and you can have the bottles engraved any way you like. So happy birthday, my friend.
Oh, thank you. That's beautiful. That'll look great on the bar.
Good. Now open the bourbon. Let's go. All right, we're going to get to a break here. We will come back. We're going to visit with Brett Calhoun next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Racing at Gulfstream Park is heating up with world-class horse racing during our championship meet every Wednesday through Sunday until March 30th. Catch top-class graded stakes action and great wagering opportunities every week. And be sure to get your tickets now for the $1 million ExpressBet.com Florida Derby on March 30th. For our full racing schedule and to learn more about upcoming events, visit GulfstreamPark.com.
Grade 1 winner Lee traveled the world competing against the best of his generation. A graded stakes winner on both dirt and turf, he set a new track record in the Grade 1 Don Handicap and retired with earnings of more than $2.3 million. Now his flashy first crop yearlings are turning heads with a striking resemblance to their internationally successful sire. The sky's the limit for this promising young stallion. Lee, standing at Claiborne Farm.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Oh my goodness, look at Frosted today! Frosted's 10 in front! Frosted is absolutely roughed in the Met Mile!
Frosted absolutely annihilated his competition in the 2016 renewal of the Grade 1 Met Mile. His 14 and a quarter length win was the largest margin in the history of the Met Mile and resulted in a new stakes record of 132.73. His 123 buyer speed figure that day is the highest since 2007 and the fastest ever at a mile. That scintillating victory by Frosted makes him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. A multiple Grade 1 winning son of champion sire Tappet, Frosted earned more than $3.1 million and is a graded stakes winner in both the United States and Dubai. He bred the best first two books of any stallion in his crop. Watch for first yearlings by Frosted selling in 2019. Learn more by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Half mile in 52.75 seconds, three quarters 119.14. These three-year-olds racing to the final furlong. It's Ian Glass, Town Management, and Handsome Honey looks to make that split. Most Mischief, and on the outside is Tom's Last General. Land of the Pharaohs near the stand side rail. They come past the 16th. It is Tom Management. On the outside, Ian Glass. And here's Most Mischief and Miguel Mena. It's Most Mischief, the one for Brett. Trainer Brett Calhoun's 3,000th career win. Most Mischief got up in time in a dramatic finish.
John Dooley with the call. Most Mischief winning that allowance race at the fairgrounds. That was back on February 10th, last Sunday. Huge win getting up at the wire for Brett Calhoun. That was milestone win number 3,000 for Brett. He is one of just 30 thoroughbred trainers in the history of the sport ever to saddle at least 3,000 winners. So congratulations to Brett. He's going to be busy this afternoon in the Grade 2 Risen Star with Mr. Money, and we'll get a chance to talk to Brett hopefully coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We are efforting him, our producer Lee Delapina, working on getting him on the program here, but it is a very busy morning for those trainers at the fairgrounds, so hopefully we can get a hold of Brett for a few minutes and get a chance to talk to him. But Jude, as somebody who trained horses for more than 20 years, put that in perspective for people. We say, okay, 3,000 wins. It's a massive number, but how big of an accomplishment is that for a thoroughbred horse trainer?
Well, I mean, when you look at the stats and only 30 people have done it, I mean, that tells you something right there.
Yeah.
30 people is not much in the overall number of people who have trained horses.
Think about that.
Years.
Yeah.
First of all, you got to have a stable large enough to do that. So that's an accomplishment in itself to be able to train that many horses and to have that kind of success. It is such a time consuming business that I don't think a lot of people realize what goes into having that many horses and that many winners. When you see guys in today's, day and age, especially guys like, Todd Pletcher and Chad Brown and these guys that have, 200-300 horses that they're in charge of. And it's quite an accomplishment. You need an organization. It needs to be run like a Fortune 500 company, So Brett's been doing it a long time and he's been very successful. He's a super talented guy and has managed to maintain his personality through it all.
Yeah.
which is a hard part of our business. I mean, you have to be charming and nice, and even when you're dead tired, when you've been running horses morning, noon, and night, pretty much you're training in the morning. A lot of trainers that have that many victories have raced horses in the afternoon and the evening. It's a really time consuming thing, and it's hard to be charming when you're exhausted.
Yeah, and Brett, 54 years old, native of Dallas, Texas. He really made his mark and started his career in Louisiana and in Texas and really hit the big time with a horse named Cactus Ridge, who was owned by country music superstar Toby Keith. That was one of the first horses that got Brett rolling with that career, which has now seen him train 3,000 winners. And what an accomplishment it is. And Brett is indeed with us now here on the Equine Forum. Brett, welcome to the program and congratulations on that milestone win last weekend.
Good morning. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, pretty special. Only 30 trainers in the history of the sport have ever reached that 3,000 win mark. But talk about what that means, Brett. That's pretty special.
Well, it is. I mean, you think about it. I think people throw numbers around. It doesn't seem like any big deal. But when you talk about only 29 others that done it, it does make it a substantial milestone. Pretty proud of that.
You've come a long way since Ramjet won at Trinity Meadows back in 94, huh?
It's a long ways back.
His first winner, April 1st, 1994, at Trinity Meadows, Ramjet. When you saddled Ramjet and he wins that race, could you ever imagine we'd be sitting here talking about 3,000 wins?
Never in my wildest dreams. I don't think that's something when you get started like that and where I started, I don't think you even can even dream that big.
When was the last time you slept?
Oh, I don't have any problem sleeping.
I
don't do a lot of it.
Yeah. I mean, you're one of the hardest working guys around. That's a very short period of time to win 3,000 races, too, from 1994 to now. I don't think people really can grasp that. A lot of people that are on the 3,000 list, they did that over, 70 years'
well,
time.
And if you look at my record, the first many years, I didn't hardly win any races, a couple here and there. So the first few years were just, we didn't get much done.
Right.
What's been the key to taking things to the next level, Brett?
Gosh, I don't know. I was kind of one of those that, early days, I was just enamored, obsessed with the business and the horses. And I think that just drove me. And then you start having a little success, and it drives you harder and harder and harder, and that's kind of what's gotten us here. I've had some good owners along the way, and some very good help. They've been with me for a long time, and it's been a good team for quite a long time.
If I remember correctly, didn't you start out training horses that were bred by your father? And he was a school teacher, right, if I'm not mistaken?
That's correct.
Yeah.
My dad was a school teacher, and he had a few horses. And when he retired from teaching school, he decided he was going to take over the training of the horses. It took him a very short period of time to figure out that wasn't retired life. And at that time, I had been, begging to get in the game. We had been in for a little while, but I'd been to college and been out of job and, was wanting to get into this. And my parents definitely didn't want me to do this. And so after he trained for a very brief time, he figured out, like I said, that wasn't very good retired life. He offered me to take the horses. So that's pretty much how I started. I took a few cheap horses and went on the road.
Is your dad still with us?
He is.
What did he say about the 3,000?
Well, my mom and dad are like my biggest fans. You know, I get the text every time after they run. You know, if they don't win, obviously it's a bad ride. blaming everybody but me. You know? they're my biggest fans. They watch all the races, so they love it.
Well, Brett, it didn't come easy for you last Sunday either. That blanket finish, noses up and down on the line, but Most Mischief fortunate enough to give you that 3,000th win, getting his nose to the wire first.
Yeah, what a finish! You know that the turf, the rail was so far out. There was so many of them across the wire. They all had a chance late, and he got his nose down for us. We had three in that day, and I thought he was my best chance of the day to get it done. I was glad that we did it here at the fairgrounds, and I was present.
Brett Calhoun with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Busy day for him. He'll be at the fairgrounds later today for the Grade 2 Risen Star. Mr. Money, his entrant in there. Golden Sense, the sire of Mr. Money. This three-year-old is pretty talented, Brett. Comes out of that fourth-place finish in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. This will be his three-year-old debut. Look back on that two-year-old campaign for a minute with Mr. Money.
Well, he's a horse that we liked all along. He had a couple of rough trips in his first few races, and I think that actually benefited him in the long run, and that's what allowed us to move from a maiden race to the Breeders' Cup. We felt like he got a lot of seasoning in his in a couple of his maiden races, more so than a lot of horses get in more starts than that. So we took our shot there. He ran well. We had a plan for the winter. We brought him down here, freshening him a few weeks, and pointed towards the comp. Everything went great until the day before. He started coughing, caught a temperature, had a little bug. So unfortunately, our master plan, we kind of got off course there, which we didn't lose a lot of training. And he's done fantastic since. I just think we're at a little bit of a disadvantage today. Obviously, fitness-wise, we're getting started a little later than we wanted, but the horse is doing very well, and we expect a big effort from him.
Yeah, it's tough when you've got that plan and everything's going good, and then all of a sudden something happens. But that's horse racing, and you've been through it many times before. It looks like he's come back and trained very well. He got a bullet blowout for this race, and that's encouraging.
Yeah, you know, we weren't trying to do that much that day, and that's just how good he's doing, and training very, very well.
Brett, you obviously don't have to win this race today. It would certainly be nice, but this is not the ultimate goal when you're on the Derby trail. What are you looking to see from Mr. Money in this effort this afternoon in the Risen Star?
Yeah, we want to see progression. I think every trainer that's got a three-year-old prospect this time of year is looking for improvement physically and mentally, and that's kind of what we're looking for. You know, after we missed LeCompte, ideally it'd been nice just to have an allowance race here, something a little easier to get our year started. But you don't have those kind of options this time of year. A lot of times we'd had to wait for a little while longer. So as long as he's progressing and we still think he's the horse we've been hoping for, and he continues to move forward, yeah, we're not going to get stupid and hopefully not get caught up in Derby fever. If he's that kind, hopefully we want to point in that direction. If he's not, there's a lot of really nice three-year-old races the rest of the year.
Yeah, well said. Brett Calhoun here on HRRN. Brett, good luck this afternoon in the Risen Star. Congratulations again on number 3,000 last weekend, and thanks so much for spending a little time with us here this morning.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Brett Calhoun. Going to get to one final break. We will come back and update the poll questions, give you those final results, and tell you what's ahead right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Taprit is still there. Masterplan is gaining. Masterplan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Masterplan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home four lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Graded Stakes producer, Appealing Zofie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Attending this year's Kentucky Derby? Experience the true difference at the official Derby Hotel of HRRN. Say hello to a brand new hotel experience from Hilton. That's vibrant, affordable, and young at heart. It's energetic, yet relaxing and comfortable. It's completely unprecedented. It's completely true. Enjoy modern amenities and quality comfort with guest rooms featuring a 55-inch flat-screen TV and 150 channels of DirecTV, along with a free breakfast, a state-of-the-art fitness center, and more. Discover affordability without compromise at Louisville's True by Hilton.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Champion 2- and 3-year-old Looking at Lucky enjoyed a breakout year in 2018 with two Grade 1 winners, including 5-time Grade 1 winner, Breeders' Cup Classic Hero, and Champion Older Horse, Accelerate, and Grade 1 Beldame Victoress, Wildcat. This weekend, his son Country House puts his Derby credentials on the line in the Grade 2 Risen Star Stakes at the Fairgrounds. Country House earned TDN Rising Star honors when graduating impressively by 3.5 lengths at Gulfstream last out and is one of just many smart prospects by Looking at Lucky to look out for in 2019.
This is jockey Julien Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
Welcome back. Mike Penna, Jude Fell, getting ready to wrap up a very busy 2 hours here on the Equine Forum this morning. Our thanks to all of our guests, Sal Sinatra from the Maryland Jockey Club, Stuart Fitzgibbon from Castleton Lions, Jay Goodwin, our industry star of the week from Goodwin Farm, Scott Coles, the NHC champion, was with us at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, and of course, trainers Vicky Foley and Brett Calhoun. Our thanks to them for being part of this program here today. Busy, busy weekend of racing. You've got the Risen Star at the Fairgrounds, the El Camino Real Derby out at Golden Gate in California. Monday, you have the President's Day feature at Oaklawn, which is the Southwest Stakes. That's always a good one. And you have the Hyacinth Stakes in Japan tomorrow, which is a win and you're in pretty much, 30 points to the winner for the Japan Road to the Kentucky Derby.
Oh. We want to be tuning into that.
Yeah. 77 days, 7 hours, 51 minutes, and 38 seconds until the first Saturday in May and that run for the roses. Don't forget, we are your official radio home of the Derby and the Triple Crown in partnership with NBC Sports and with Westwood One. Head over to horseracingradio.net to check out a complete 2019 broadcast schedule. And, of course, listen to podcasts of this show, all of our shows, horseracingradio.net. JT, the two poll questions here today. Let's see if we can quickly update those for our listeners. The first one, with all the big events taking place this weekend and in the coming months. If you could attend one of the following sporting events, which one would you choose? The Derby, by far and away, the winner there. 65% of HRN Nation saying it would be the Derby over the Masters, the Super Bowl, any of those others. And the prop bet, if you're only going to bet one trainer to saddle the Derby winner this year, you can have Bob Baffert or all other trainers. All other trainers, 51%. Bob Baffert, 49%.
Wow, no respect.
Wow. I think that's a lot of respect for Bob.
49%?
Against everybody else?
He's got like 8 horses that he can run.
I know. Pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Don't forget that poll question at HRN on Twitter. Our thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, and Chauncey, Sean C., for handling our social media. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. Thanks for listening. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.